Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. Of course, you can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com. Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a whole bunch of stories affecting the South County and Massachusetts area, and even us, as a matter of fact. And we're joined by David and Marcy every week, and we say good morning to them now. Good morning, David. Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning. Good morning.
So do we have to worry about school drop-offs with David?
No, we don't.
See, I'm finding all of these wonderful silver linings.
No, we don't. Which means that we just woke up.
Oh, there is that.
Well, good morning.
We're up very late.
Yeah, we are up very late.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know you do.
Beginning last Thursday, at 11 o'clock in the morning, our world ended as we normally knew it. And even when I get in here now a half hour earlier, and even I'm at home, and for at least 3 or 4 hours additionally at home, I have to work. So, well, that leads right in really to top stories this week: the coronavirus epidemic.
And yes, we are having the same problem. I mean, we have an overwhelming amount of stuff to, to let our readers know about. I mean, it's we started a kind of rolling log of stories on our homepage, which we add to daily and sometimes even hourly, and it's called the coronavirus live local update. And we are getting all these emails and announcements and information, and so we just keep adding it to the top of this article. So there is a running log of things that our readers need to know about, but it's very difficult to catch up with, as you know.
You know, it is. It's fun. It's interesting that you did that, because on that Thursday evening, we started the same thing. If you go to our homepage, and every day there's a link with the day's date that says coronavirus updates, March 18th, March 18th.
Right.
We did exactly what you did. The oldest stuff is down below. The newer stuff gets posted up above, because there's not enough time or the day or employees to edit this thing on a daily basis.
No, we can't. I mean, we just put it all in. We figure, we get we're on everybody's mailing list, and I don't know that all our readers are. So, we just keep putting it up there, and we call it Coronavirus Live Local Update.
It's an amazing time that we live in. It's amazing how the world can change 180 degrees really in one afternoon. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I have to say, this is a great concern for us as a as an operating business too, because our advertisers are pulling their ads because nobody's going out, and we have a great concern about whether we're going to be able to. This could kill the Berkshire Edge.
That is a big concern, and we try to tell people what we've done here. At Robin Hood Radio is we've started a section where anybody who's been a current underwriter with us gets a free announcement, so they can announce their change of schedules. That's basically the restaurants, the bars, and the theaters, and supermarkets. So if they were an underwriter, they get that for free. Anybody who's not an underwriter, that's a business and wants to do that, if they make a small donation, will do that as well. But you're absolutely right. This is a pivotal time, because
people have to understand that they need to support their local outlets.
Right.
It's a pivotal time for you, for us, and for anybody that provides this information, because our advertising base, our underwriting base, has been shrinking anyway, simply over the years, and it is an important part that keeps people informed. Just imagine an area, I always tell this to people, an area without radio stations, newspapers, or online newspapers.
Right.
Where do you get the oversight, first of all, on government, and where do you get the news?
But more to the point.
Right. Fox News.
Yeah. Okay, but this is the thing. If you watch that or if you don't, and you know it's there was an interesting story on Nuvance on Fox yesterday. On Fox. I am a big believer in watching everything, by the way. So that you know the various different realities.
Right.
But the key here is that if you were just getting your news from a national outlet or even local, you're not going to find out what you need to know right here. And that's the really key thing.
It's true.
And if you want to know what's going on outside your front door, which is the whole reason for local, then you're going to have to pony up a little bit, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for instance, in your next item, the Berkshire International Film Festival,
right. They've
postponed their schedule until September. And, you know, even postponed till September, it's still up in the air. People, you know, you just don't know now that this whole thing is broken wide open.
Well, we put this as a separate story rather than in the rolling log. Because first of all, it just got announced.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal that a big event like this. We haven't heard, by the way, from Tanglewood or Jacob's Pillow or the various theater festivals how they're going to deal with this. But it's a big concern that, you know, the cultural Berkshires are going to be, silent this summer.
Well, you're absolutely right, because most of these theater organizations really get up and running and geared in late March, April, and then they're all set to go by May. And even though May seems far away, it's not that far away when you're talking about
not.
A pandemic.
No, it's not.
Well, you know, they have to have contracted with various theater groups and organizations to you know, fill their programming and their schedule. So we'll see what's going to happen here. I think one of the questions is how long is this epidemic going to run its course, or is it going to die out in a month, say, so that they can plan for events in the summer. But I'm not sure. From what I'm reading, I'm not sure that's so.
Yeah, it's a big unknown.
It is, and
it's like for you, and it's like for us, and it's like the theater companies and other. How do you plan into the future when the future is basically a vast wasteland of unknowns?
Right,
it's tough.
Right.
Well, of course. Well, you sound like T.S. Eliot, but that's always true, I suppose. But you know, this is really interesting. This is a kind of existential moment here for everyone.
Yeah. Now you do have a story that it's not only for the Berkshires, but it's also here in Northwest Connecticut and adjacent Eastern New York. The closure of schools, children who are eligible for breakfast and lunches no longer receive them. Here in Connecticut and New York, there are organizations that have stepped in so students will get those meals that need those meals. Is it the same in Berkshire County?
Yeah, that's what this is. This is what's happened. They had to get this together right away because there are lots of kids that go to school who depend on the free lunches and meals that they get at school for their meals, because at home they don't get them. And what do they do now when there is a, you know, when school is going to be virtually canceled for a good long period of time? So yesterday. The Trio of South County Schools, they made to-go meals consisting of lunches and the breakfast for the next morning available for school-aged children regardless of not whether or not they were receiving free lunches, but they just felt that they could be picked up drive-through style, so that they can remain 6 feet apart from each other.
You know, it's
so that's what the schools have scheduled. You can get it from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. At various locations, three or four locations in Berkshire County, southern Berkshire County, so that for parents that need it.
I was wondering, in South County, Stop and Shop here in Connecticut has instituted a new process, which will start tomorrow, that they're going to be open from 6 a.m. in the morning till 7:30 for seniors. Anybody 60 and over?
Oh, yeah. A separate time for seniors,
yeah.
Right.
Because
what time is that? 6:30 in the morning till what?
6 in the morning till 7:30 in the morning, and 60 and over, because seniors are being crowded out and being and being mixed in with too many other people. So Stop and Shop is going to start this. It goes into effect tomorrow.
How interesting!
Right. Yeah.
No, we haven't had that.
Well, that's true. I heard that too. Huh. That that's going to be a policy so that. The most vulnerable population is not going to necessarily be
mixed in with the
carriers, you might say.
Yeah,
potential carriers.
But that seems to be emerging right now, is the understanding that you can infect your elder, so to speak, and this is not something you want to do. That's the upshot. You've got to be conscious, and this is where the mind is really undergoing massive retraining, because a lot of people have not been conscious of others as much of late.
You know, and you've got one more thing here, and we had the same thing. We had someone who came back from Europe, and when they came into New York, there was thousands of people jammed up, and no one was being screened, so we got a little update there. But you have a dispatch from someone about the epidemic from a friend who lives in Seattle, which is, of course, is a hot spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the places where, you know, aside from Wuhan in China, the West Coast was a real hotspot for
people coming in from
People coming in from China, actually, and
Seattle has a huge
Sheila Clary had a friend out there who wrote a very moving story about what it was like to endure that kind of fear about an epidemic. It's pretty interesting. She's a good writer too, a really good writer. But you know, wow, it's pretty interesting.
Well,
pretty interesting what we're going through. You know.
Well, less.
I think you know. I mean, I was in New York during 9/11, and I have spoken with several New York friends, and we're talking about the difference between 9/11 and this, and of course there are major differences, but one of the big differences is when, you know, this disease has made us wary of each other. In New York after 9/11, people really bonded together. You know, people smiled at each other on the subway. We helped each other. We volunteered. And here we're really sort of going off on our own, and we're suspicious of anybody that might get near us.
Well, the difference,
and that is, I mean, that's the major difference. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, it's the giant unknown that's so creepy here.
Yeah, well, the difference that you're talking about is when you're dealing with 9/11 or what you're dealing like with a world war, you're dealing with a known threat.
Mm-hmm.
The threat is there, and it's in front of you, and it's visible. When you're
mm-hmm.
dealing with a pandemic, especially this size, it is the unknown threat. It is invisible. Mm-hmm. You just don't know where it is or how it is, and that is a huge difference in the human psyche.
And the other thing that goes with that is this is because it's a pandemic. This is all over. This, you know, usually when there's a disaster of some sort, even a world war, you're not in the thick of it in a lot of cases.
No, and you know, after 9/11, people from New York and Boston who had second homes here, you know, came up here to get away from it. But now they're coming up here, and people here are concerned that they're bringing a disease with them.
Yeah,
we don't want them.
Yeah, it really is an unbelievable situation we find ourselves in. I want to go to we'll start getting off the pandemic talk for now, because this next story I've been following since its inception, because I know a lot of my friends are volunteer firefighters, and that is the story out of West Stockbridge, where the firing of the fire chief really has created a lot of turmoil.
Oh yeah. The select board has just—it's just been a really anxious and troublesome moment for the select board and people in West Stockbridge, when the select board decided to narrowly decided to fire its Peter Scorpid, its fire chief, and there's been the fallout from that has just been a wrenching for the community. You know, it's been an interesting time.
You know, when I first heard the story,
not that it wasn't justified, but it's,
well, that's the funny thing. You know, he did things that justified him being disciplined. Okay, there's no doubt about it, in the story at all. He definitely did things, if they're true, that are justified being disciplined. But there is also a number of course, not only the volunteer firefighters, but other people who want to look past that. And it looks to me they think the select board acted too strongly.
Yeah, that's true. And particularly, that's right. You know, well, you know, police chief, fire chiefs and police chiefs, for that matter, they have a big following in the town, especially the volunteer, but it's a volunteer, as in his case, a volunteer fire department. And he was, they're probably, the select board is being a little cautious about actually going into every detail about what they're doing. So it's, their decision is probably may seem a little mysterious or even vindictive to the public, when in fact it could be well justified.
Well, it's like it's like any other person. There's a certain amount of what they can say and what they can release and not release.
That's right.
You know, just because it's a legal law. I mean, you just don't talk about in public an employee, even though it's a volunteer, about their firing. So it's a hard line to walk.
Yes, it is. But nevertheless. They did.
Well, you know, we're in a situation these days where facts don't count. And so this is considered a conspiracy by, the other side to get rid of this long-term, long-serving fire chief. And the fact is that he did things that deserved for him to be fired, But the person who raised it, this Eric Shimalonis, I mean, is a newcomer. You know, he's an outsider. He's now a homeowner, but he's only been here for a few years. He and his wife bought a home there and have become active in the community. So this has nothing to do with the facts. This is the alternate reality that we deal with now, that you can't do anything because you are accused of, of being anti whoever is in power, willy-nilly anti.
Well, this is not, the select board in this case was acting on after an investigation by the State Ethics Commission. Hmm. And they had found evidence that he had violated his office and by appointing his relatives to positions and so on and so forth that were violating the rules of the game here. And he so it wasn't just the selectmen; they were operating. They were
operating
to an investigation.
That's right, with information that was supplied to them by the state. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, well, so
that's true. I forgot about that.
And as a result, they were well. It seems to me, anyways, that they were
within their bounds. Yeah,
correct in what they did. But you know. That doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of hard feelings.
That's right. Well, let's wrap things up on a lighter note, and that is your review.
Is there a lighter note?
There's a lighter note?
Yes, the book published by Barbara Bonner.
Bonner, yeah. Well, she's a well-known columnist and writer here in town, and she's a delightful woman, and she's written this inspiring forgiveness. It's a good topic at these right now, but we had a review of her work and who she is, and it's a little relief from the kind of virus and apocalyptic news that we have, you know, but. She's an interesting. It's an interesting book.
Well,
so we recommend it, actually.
Okay. All right, and are you going to put a plug in for your magazine again? There, come on, Marcy.
Yeah,
Marcy, come on.
Well, we are preparing a magazine to come out for at the beginning of May, which will cover May, June, and July. It's a little up in the air as to what the content is going to be, which is causing us, as you can imagine, some problems because it has to be at the printer at the beginning of April. But we think we have it under control, and it will be beautiful. But in the meantime, it is one of the purposes of the magazine is to make people aware of the online calendar, and we are keeping up with everything that's happening and also everything that's being canceled. I mean, we're editing events with canceled and and trying to make sure that people our readers are up to date. So that's the other part of our service that we're editing all of the events so that people know if they're happening or not.
Yeah, I just noticed that on our update log of events I see that our managing editor, Terry Cowgill, is, in fact, right now, adding events.
All right, well.
So it is really up to date.
Yeah, it is up to date. No, it is, I mean, that's the great thing about this interactive online calendar, that it is definitely up to date.
All right, well, we will speak to you guys next week, stay safe, okay?
Okay.
Hey, you know what? Just wash your hands all the time and stay safe out there, okay?
All right, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air, You can find them online, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.